some of our members have lost of this venue that are coming, they are expecting honorable minister just only a second. Well, thank you very much, honorable members, and thanks and apology for those that were not sure of the thing, but see all honorable members and yes, thank you, you are all welcome. We do have some few apologies. One apology is for Honorable Kony and Honorable Prince and Honorable Mlambo. Okay. Told that Honorable Kony will join us. The minister is today having a budget vote at NA. But we'll be joined by the DG. Honorable members, those are the few apologies that I'm making. You are all welcome. Very quick introduction. My name is Uliti de Sofak, chairperson of the Civil Committee on the Mineral Resources. Can I just quickly hand over to honorable members?
Nadi Madina is my name, member of this committee. I'm from Limpopo.
Dada Konza, I'm a member of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Jomo Nyambe, I'm from Mpumalanga Province.
Good morning, my name is Professor Nika, I'm from Mpumalanga
Province. Good morning, Dr. Julius, Gauteng, member of the committee.
Good morning, everybody, Askipawa, committee secretary.
Good morning, Colleague of the Conference Advisor of the Committee.
Good morning, everyone. Amanda Zinka, I'm Committee Assistant.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Secretary of the Church.
Good morning, honorable chair, honorable members. I'm Thabo Kenya, acting chief director in the department.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Ramsari Alvismo, the acting deputy director general of Mineral Policy and Promotion, TMR.
I'm Mobila Dinalakan, acting chief director of the Central Business League.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable member. The department is not here, will be joining us. But before we continue, let me just voice my disappointment that we just received this document, which is disempowering the honorable members to engage. It is proper that in the future that we should make sure that either electronically send it to members or that when we arrive here, at least we should be having some insight and for engagement and proper discussion to be very much good. I will, however, hand over to you to give us this presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. As you have indicated, we do have a budget vote today. So the reason why you only ask the directors is because the DGs are in the budget vote. The DG will also is also there, but he will come and be with us. We apologize for submitting the presentation late. We'll try to explain as much as possible so that the members are not disempowered. Honorable Chairperson, we did receive the request of the committee to brief the committee on the strategic plan, the budget vote, and the annual performance target for the department with the briefing.
Can I just check, if you allow me? Is the DG asking the minister to present the budget statement?
I'm not sure of his role, but indicated that.
Can I suggest that the DG must be here?
Yeah. But he has indicated that
NCOP, Select Committee of NCOP, must be expected. The DG has no role there. And since to mention CFO, that this morning we have been waiting for your confirmation for the policy debate in the NCOP on the 7th of June. I ended up calling the minister to say, your department is retarding the progress and the planning of NCOP. It's only today when I call him to say, can you please come then? Please. Okay, he's here. You can continue.
DG, I was just starting to do the introduction, but I'll hand over back to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity also to convey our warm greetings to honorable members and also to apologize. We did explain our dilemma. I'll just start with the first page. I'm sure the CFO has already done the introduction of the team members that are here. If we move to page 2, it is the presentation outline that I think I will not go through it. That is the content of the presentation. Then page 3, we have our strategic overview. As we all know that as a department, we derive our mandate from two key pieces of legislation. That is MPRDA and Mine Health and Safety Act. We also have our vision, Vision 2030 and Vision 2019. Vision 2030 is to ensure that we become a leader in the transformation of our country, which is South Africa, through economic growth and sustainable development.
And also in 2019, we are stating that we become a globally competitive, sustainable and meaningful, or meaningfully transformed mining and mineral sector. We do have our mission, as we all know that the mission of the department is to promote and regulate the minerals and mining sector for the transformation. On page 4, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, it is our strategic overview, as I have also explained, but I want to focus on strategic goals, as we are all aware that we want to have an increased investment in the minerals, mining and petroleum sectors. My apologies. And also to become a transformed, or to have a transformed mineral sector, to have equitable and sustainable benefits from mineral resources, and to ensure that we are the department that is efficient, effective, and also developmental oriented. On page 5, we have the organizational structure overview. As we all know that we have been having a bit of a challenge in terms of vacancy within the department. I'm sure we have also tried to reflect on this scenario on the presentation. But I must actually report to honorable members that we have advertised the vacant pools that are budgeted for and critical. We have started with the interview for the position of the DTG MR. This week, we are, in fact, MTP, we have finalized the position of the Deputy Director General, Minerals Policy and Promotion. Then this week, we are also having interviews for the position of DTG Mineral Regulation. And for other positions in the department, we also have interviews, especially for the chief directors, directors, and deputy directors for those the key positions. Now, the other critical aspect is in relation with our state-owned entities. As you can see there, we still have some acting positions. And so we are in the process as well. The minister will be having a session with the board of our entity to make sure that we accelerate our pace in filling this vacant pool of our entity. There is actually the necessary commitment from the department to make sure that all these vacant pools are filled. Moving to slide number 6, here we give auditor's performance overview. As we all know by now that the department has obtained what we define or classify as unqualified report, and further than that, we also have what we call a clean audit. And so we are in that position, which is more of a comfortable position. Now we have a duty to make sure that, that we don't regress from this good performance that we have demonstrated. And so we have just demonstrated in terms of the journey that we have traversed as a department up until we get to the clean audit. Then for the next page, we have audited performance overview. We, as the 31st of March 2017, we were at 84, and by 31st March 2018, we have obtained 84.8, and so which means there is actually an improvement in as far as the performance is concerned. The other issue, when you move to the next slide, which deals with the performance, in fact, situational analysis, I would want to deal with the two key issues on this slide, which is the government 14-point plan. We all know that the Treasury released a report where the Department of Mineral Resources was also affected or indicated that it has a duty and responsibility of making sure that for the sake of the regulatory certainty and which will then create some comfort for investors. We have to finalize the two pieces of legislation, which is the MPRPA amendment bill, and also the mining charter. I must indicate at this stage, as we all know, honorable members, that we are still in progress with the MPRP amendment bill. We are optimistic that this process will be finalized in due course. There is actually a commitment that has been made that it will be completed within a reasonable period of time. Then as for the mining charter, we are busy at the moment with the provinces. We have attended five provinces to date, such as with Mpumalanga, Limpopo. We also came to the Western Cape. We have done Northern Cape and Northwest as well. And so next week, in fact this week, will be in the Eastern Cape at King William Town. Next week we'll be doing district housing and KZN. And so as you are aware that the minister has made a commitment as well that this will be concluded within a reasonable period of time, which is actually 3 months from the date of his appointment. Then as for situational analysis, I have actually dealt with this past. We have also made a commitment in terms of the key projects. These projects are going to be in different provinces. As we know that that is the primary mandate of the NCOT to look at the interests of our provinces. And so that is slide number 10, where we'll be looking around issues relating to mining rehabilitation and also enforcement and compliance with the National Environmental Management Act, enforcement and compliance with inspections. And so this is a list of the key projects that will be embarking upon during the course of this financial year. The next slide, which is slide number 11, we have expenditure. I will just actually reflect on the total budget that has been allocated for the department for this financial year. We have 1.8 billion, which will be also shared with the entities that are under the Department of Mineral Resources. I'm sure Honorable Chair and Honorable Member, the CFO must have indicated in terms of the responsible officials that are here that will be doing presentations on behalf of our branches. Then with the Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we like to start with the corporate services. Then we have the Chief Director that is actually assigned to do the presentation on behalf of the branches. Thank you very much.
Thank you. For corporate services, we have the two outcomes that we have aligned ourselves with. Those are the efficient and sustainable for mineral resources, as well as efficient, effective, and development-oriented departments. And under those outcomes, we have 10 strategic objectives, with each strategic objective having a measure and target. So this is the slide that shows the strategic objectives and the outcomes. The following slide.
Can you bring up, take your mic, let's go.
Under equitable and sustainable benefit from mineral resources, as I've already indicated, we have the strategic objectives contribute to skills development and sustainably develop vulnerable groups, as well as communicate EMR programs with internal and external stakeholders. The measure under contribution of skills development is the number of mining career awareness. This is a shared measure between two components within corporate services. If we look into the target there, the 5-year target, we had 60, and 40 years to date, we have 16, that is from 2015-16 and 2016-17. And then the target that we have for the current year, which is 2018-19, is 11 for special projects and 11 for human resource development. As I've indicated, that this is a shared measure between two components in corporate services. Number of mining career awareness, we have a 5-year target there, and the auditor's year to date is not applicable because I've indicated that this is also a shared measure. Previously we combined the two, but we only now moving forward separating them into components, the target to specify the components where they are, the responsibility lies. Then number of bursaries acquired for study towards mining related qualifications. We have a 5-year target of 60, and we have so far achieved 69 audited, and for the previous year we had achieved 20, and we had to increase our target from this one to 40. Meaning that for the current year, which is 2018-19, we are aiming at a target of 40 bursaries acquired for studies towards mining-related qualifications. Then the number of identified projects facilitated for vulnerable groups, we had a 5-year target of 36. We achieved 20. We have a target of 6 for the current year. We are going to facilitate 6 projects for this current year for vulnerable groups. Then the other targets under communication, the measures under communication of DMR programs and internal stakeholders. This is more internal focus, although we have some external focus in certain areas, but mostly this is the implementation of a communication strategy within the department. The second slide. This slide shows in terms of the regions now, where have we conducted the career awareness initiative for both human resource development and special projects. So that is the slide that shows where the career awareness initiative. The second slide also shows in terms of bursaries, where were those bursaries granted in terms of the provinces. Can move to the next slide. The, this, under this slide, now on the second outcome of efficient, effective development oriented department, we have 2 strategic objectives that provide adequate facilities for effective service delivery. It is mainly internally focused because it is mostly on the facilities of our offices in the department, the provision of those facilities. And the other one, developing and reviewing and improvement of internal processes, guidelines and procedures. These are also mainly our internal policies, the number of policies and guidelines. We refer mainly to our HR policies, transport policies, security management policies. That is all corporate services policies, which are mainly internally focused. The number of improved processes and re-engineered, this is also in line with the implementation of the operations management framework in the public service. We intend to re-engineer some processes in the department so as to ensure efficient service delivery by our core functions. The target existing for both the processes as well as the standard operating procedures, because for each and every process that we are going to improve, we intend also coming up with the standard operating procedures. That is also mainly internal focus to assist our consultants to perform at their maximum. The strategic objective provides professional legal support and advisory services to the ministry and department. Here we have the measure percentage of timers responses to opinions, appeals, inquiries, agreements, and litigations. We aim at a 70% at least achievement of those for the 5 years. Up to date, we have achieved 84%, and the target for the current year is that we achieve at least 80%. The adherence of the percentage of adherence to define turnaround time. This is also with respect to appeals, inquiries, and some requests such as FINEA and so on. We intend achieving 100%. The adherence to our service level agreements, this is mainly also an internal focus. With regards to, if you move on to the second slide, to the next slide, please. And so implementation of national strategies, these are mainly our the strategies that emanate from the directives, from the strategies from mainly the PSA and some other corporate support services from other departments like security, SSA, and so on. One that we're implementing in the department mainly is the expansion strategy. We also have the gender equality, the women empowerment and gender equality strategic framework that we also implementing, the wellness, the employee health and wellness strategy, and some other strategies. The measures that we have there, we have the number of files completed and submitted to state security agency. This is in terms of tracking. The 5-year target was 600, and so far we have achieved 360, and also the 100 that is not yet audited. But then the target for the current year is 100, and with the employment screening request, we always intend or plan to achieve 100% of the requests, and also 100% of the service providers that we screen before they can be involved with any services in the department. The number of gender equality strategic plans, the 5-year target, this was not applicable. This was only in the APP from 2016. So far we have achieved 19, but the target for the current year is 10. The number of health and safety and wellness programs that we intend to implement. We had a 5-year target of 100. So far we have achieved 36, and the target is 8. We also have the 8 that has not yet been audited. Moving on to ensuring of compliance with legislation, which is also mainly our HR legislation. The number of actions implemented to ensure submission of financial disclosure. We intend to take 5 actions that will help us to ensure that we receive 100% submission of financial disclosures by our SMS members. And we are achieving on those, and we're still having a target of 5% for this year. This is also coming up with the second one, which is the percentage of human resources development plans, workplace skills plans, and submitted to DPSA and PCSA and M2A. This is a requirement annually that we submit all these by the 30th of April every year. And therefore, we always make sure that we achieve 100%. We aim at 100%. That is submission before and or on the due date. The actions implemented to ensure submission of performance agreements. This is the one that is more, that is the same as the one for the financial disclosures. We measure ourselves on the actions that we take so that we ensure 100% submission of performance agreements by our SMS members on the due date or before the due date of 31st of May. Then under the strategic objective of attracting, development and retention of skills, we have the number of HRD initiatives aligned to National Skills Development Strategy. We have a number of these. We have a target of, we had a 5-year target of 95. So far, we have achieved 49 plus 17. We also have a target of 17 for this year. And we will continue to maintain the vacancy rate below 10%, which is also a national requirement. The promotion of corporate governance, which is the last one under the outcome, which was the supposed outcome of efficient, effective development orientation.
See, the bulk of the time should be allocated to engagement. If you can try by all the means to make sure that at least within 10-15 minutes all this should be covered, so that the bulk of the issue will be allocated to me. Thank you very much.
This is the last slide. Here we have percentage of implementation of management action plans. These are arising from both internal audit and external audit reports. For internal audit reports, we aim at 100%, which is our target. And for external audits, we also target 100% achievement. And percentage adherence to compliance framework, which is mostly on quarterly and annual reporting and other issues that relate to compliance. We also aim at 100%, which is our target. The percentage of risk management plan, the target there is also to implement 100 of those plans. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. The next slide talks to Financial Administration Branch. The Financial Administration Branch is responsible for finance and also supply chain and information management systems of the department. The four strategic objectives that have been identified through the strategic framework is the provision of efficient and effective services to internal customers, implementing processes, managing financial resources, and promoting corporate governance. In providing efficient services to internal and external customers, we focus on making sure that the system is available 99% of the time, and that our suppliers are paid within 30 days. Over the years, we have targeted that to pay our suppliers within 30 days. We have yet to date at 97.36% due to some of the few glitches we had at the beginning of the period where we were not managing to pay within 30 days. But honorable members, I can assure you that currently we pay our suppliers in average within 12 to 15 days. So we are doing well in that front. I think the other area which is of interest to members here is the availability of system, because that's where we hold SAMRAD. We acknowledge the challenges that we had on SAMRAD, and part of our strategic plan where we say we are going to implement 100% of system master plan is that we are relooking at our system and coming up with an integrated system where information can be easily accessible linked to the net. So that's the target for ensuring that our processes and systems are up to date. The next slide is just to show how we manage our financial resources. We currently manage our financial resources effectively. That is including that ensuring that the limited resources that we have within the budget is allocated to achieve the strategic objectives of the department. We have in the past moved in ensuring that we don't have irregular expenditures. We had just one case at the beginning of the period. I think it was 2010 or so. I did report on it in the previous engagement when we started, but we have since improved, and we target to continue to have no irregular expenditures in future. The last one is to ensure and is to promote corporate governance. We have moved a big deal at the department from moving to qualifications to unqualified and to clean audit reports. And we do that through implementation of recommendations that come from the internal audit, and also ensuring that our risk management strategies are in place. So we still target in the last this financial year that we will implement 100% of the management action plan that we have put in place, and we do that through monitoring and ensuring that the targets that we have put forth are achieved. The next one is the miners and safety, and Dr. Andel is going to take us through it.
Thank you. The strategic objective for mine health and safety is promote health and safety, contribute to skills development, implement SLA, develop and renew internal processes, improve turnaround time, promote corporate governance. For promote health and safety, we have measured the percentage reduction in occupational fatalities. Five-year target is 20% audited to date, and the target was 20 audited year to date is 30% over the 3 years. And percentage reduction in occupational injuries, a target 20% audited over the three-year period is 11%. The reduction in occupational diseases, a target 10% audited is 9.67%. Percentage investigations initiated that was completed, target 80%, audited 87%. Percentage inquiries initiated that was completed, target 82, and audited 82. The measure for reduction of occupational diseases, for occupational fatalities,
has a cumulative total of 228 fatalities that were reported over the 3-year period, with 72 fatalities reported in 2014-15, 77 fatalities for the year 2015-16, and 79 fatalities for 2016-17. The reported figure of 228 incidents over the 3-year period represents a 13% reduction in occupational fatalities. For the percentage reduction in occupational injuries, we have a total of 8,606 incidents of occupational injuries that were reported over the 3-year period, with 2,295 injuries reported in 2014, 3,046 in 2015-16 financial year, and 2,865 in 2016-17 financial year. The reported figure of 8,206 over the 3 period represents an average reduction of 11% in occupational injuries. Occupational diseases, a total number of 17,749 incidents of diseases were reported over the 3-year period, with 6,577 reported in 2014, 6,540 in 2015-16 financial year, and 4,682 in 2016-17 financial year. The reported figure of 17,739 over the 3-year period represents a reduction of 9.67% from the baseline. Then we have still under promotions and safety, the number of inspections conducted, number of audits conducted, and the percentage annual reports submitted, number of tripartite workshops conducted, and the number of compliance requests reported. For inspections, the target was 8,000 audited. Year to date, 25,457. The target for 5 years was 40,000. And for audit, target 5 years, 1,980. Target 396 per year. And audited to date is 1,495. The reports are expected to write a report each year, and we had 3 reports submitted to Parliament. Number of workshops, this is where we go to the region and engage with mines and employees on the health and safety issues. So we have a target of 40, and the target is 200. Audited to date to have 200 compliance reports. This is not applicable yet. Number of audits conducted. We have a total of 1,495. Doing number of audits conducted. 36 inspections, we have a total of 25,467 inspections that were conducted over a 3-year period, with 8,565 inspections conducted in 2014 and 7,539 in 2016 and 9,363 in 2016. Total number of inspections conducted in the past 3 financial years, 25,467. And the audits that have been carried through, a total of 1,495 audits were conducted over a 3-year period, with 524 audits conducted in 2014, 465 in 2016, and 560 in 2017.
with the measures to contribute to skills development, facilitate adherence to government certificate competency exam policies for the exam that gets written by inspectors. So the target was to have all a target of 100% and audited the 100%. Interim on efficient, effective development oriented department, the measures implement SLA, develop and review internal processes. For the SLA, the percentage adherence to SLA targets of 100 and audited yesterday of 100. And the percentage of identified internal processes developed or reviewed, target was 100% and audited 100%. Percentage for the improved turnaround time, percentage adherence to prescribed time frame for medical appeals, which is when the employees appeal the finding of the doctors in the mind. The target is 80%. An audited year-to-date of 101%. A percentage adherence to the prescribed time frame for chief inspector of mines appeal, other appeals that go to the chief inspector. Audited today, I mean, the target was 100% and audited 100%. Percentage adherence to prescribed time frame for the MPRCA application. Target is 100% and audited yesterday is 92%. Percentage of adherence to prescribed time frame for administrative tasks. Target 80%, audited yesterday 89%. Under promote corporate governance, percentage of implementation of management action plan. Internal audit, a target of 100% and audited 85%. Percentage implementation of management action plan by external audit, target 100%, audited 100%. Percentage adherence to compliance framework, target 100% and audited 100%. Risk management plan, target 100% and audited 92%. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. Member Regulations. Three outcomes and six strategic objectives. And in terms of the targets and the measures, in terms of the number of SLT development projects completed, the target proficiency is 600 and the target was 120. So that I don't waste time for you to go through the what has happened in terms of these measures. On the number of SLT development projects completed, 417 were verified by the department through inspection. In terms of the percentage of approved SLP published, this is a new measure that was introduced in 2017-18, and there were no SLP documents published for the period under review because the department is currently exploring optimal modalities to publish or make approved SLPs available to the public. In terms of the black industrial list, we have got 10 that we have created, and the regions that have been impacted are Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Free State and Northwest. And the next page is a list of those that industries that have been created. In terms of promotion of job creation, 18,377 jobs have been created. And then on the percentage of evaluated work programs relative to rights issues, we have reached a target of 100%. And then on the reduction of state environmental liability and financial risk, percentage of statutory notices and orders issued to remedy inadequate financial services is 100%. We have met that target. And then in terms of percentage of statutory notices issued to remedy environmental non-compliance, is also 100%, because when we found non-compliance, we issued those state orders. In terms of percentage of those certificates issued in line with the regulatory framework, we have also reached 100%. Of the 519 that we issued, they were all compliant with the private certificate we issued. On the number of rights and payments granted or issued to ADSA control entities, we are at 582. And the number of SLP inspections conducted, we are at 83. Number of consultation engagements and conflict management for communities is 946. So are the industry workshop is 45. On the number of legal compliance, MLA and SLP verification inspection, we are at 1,019. Then on this one, we have a comment on the training that we did on our MRU. We have trained 94 officials at a cost of 2,975 million so that we are able to deal with NEMA. And in average, the department is able to inspect 830 mines against the total of 1,211 mines, meaning that we are able to inspect 53.12%. And to date, 813 mines were inspected. To date, of the 813 mines inspected, a total of
229 or 28.1. Yes, okay. Can I intervene? This is an important committee and important presentation. Your initial remark said the information or the document was different this morning. Now, it's supposed to be us who says present page by page because we didn't have this information in our time. Actually, what you are doing, you are cheating on us. You are presenting page by page when the information is just being taken. It's supposed to be us who made that request. Now, I'm saying, Chair, we need to engage this department. If there's any presentation to be made, can we limit the entire presentation for 10 minutes? Let's compress them in 10 minutes. Because they are presenting to us now. It's just a humble submission.
My suggestion would be if the department could talk to the issue. If they could talk to the issue, then we would be able to make our arguments and remember the story.
Can continue, but can just indicate what page are you now?
I'm on page 65. And then it is just talking about the number of inspections that have been conducted. It's 1,096. And the next one is the percentage of enforcement of procedures to collect areas
prospecting fees. On that one, we are at 69.87%. That is where we have a challenge as a branch. Because in terms of the inspections, all of them, we have exceeded the target. Same applies to this one of environmental compliance conducted. And now the last slide is on the percentage of implementation of management action plan. That internal audit, audited to date is 83%. And in terms of the percentage of implementation of management action plan, we are at 99%, and on adherence to compliance framework, 100%, and on risk management, we are at 98%. Thank
you. Thank you, Chair. And honourable members, I'm going to be presenting the APP on the mineral policy and promotion. The branch has four outcomes, as indicated on the slide. I must also indicate, honourable chair, that in the year 2017-2018, the branch received 84%. Next slide. Now in this slide, specifically, Chair, we have several strategic objectives. But the one which I want to share with the members is the number of investment promotions which were conducted. Amongst others, just to brief the members, the international space, we have the Africa Down Under. We have got China Mining Congress and Exposition. We have got Dubai Diamond Conference. We have got Prospectors and Development Association of Canada. And that is the international one outside of Africa. In the domestic area, we have investment in Africa Mining in Dawa. The other one, Honorable Chair, which I would want to discuss and share with members, is the implementation of Ocean Economy Operation Pakisa. In this, Honorable Chair, it is very important that members take note that we as the department support mainly the Department of Environmental Affairs since they are the lead. But during the year in question, 2017-2018, they managed to establish the Incident Management Organization for Oil Emergency Response, as well as offshore oil and gas exploration, marine protection services and ocean governance, as well as marine protected areas. Those are some of the projects which we have undertaken. Again, I think of interest also is the SMEs which have been supported, but I will be coming to that in the next slide. If you could go into the next slide. The strategic objective here is the promotion of investment in the mining, minerals, and upstream petroleum. Like I've already indicated, I think for the interest of specifically this committee, there have been several engagements done in provinces as indicated on the slide. And we, of that, at the right at the bottom, you will note that we had 51 international engagements which were conducted. I think that's one which was the information which I want to impart on that slide. The next slide is the number of the SMEs which were supported. These are your small-scale miners who need really support from the department. As indicated on the slide, basically we had support in each and every province, but the total for the year in question is 350. And I think the next slide, as requested by the committee, as to how do we go about selecting these SMEs, I think it's very important that we take note that small-scale mining provides an entry into especially the participation of the historically disadvantaged communities, previously disadvantaged South Africans into this sector. But the other thing is that they need these people technical support as well as financial support and the department assistance. In some instances, you may find that these people need legal support in terms of their operations and so on, and the department assists them. Members would also be aware that one of the challenges which the country is facing is the challenge of illegal mining. Some of these small-scale miners would come forward, and we see this as an opportunity to ensure that these illegal operations are somewhat legalized, and we support them in this regard. But one of the important things which also needs to be taken into consideration for us to support them is that there needs to be an all body for us to be able to put effort in terms of finance, in terms of the skills. And their support also should be to give effect to the broad-based socio-economic empowerment. And obviously, it should be sustainable in all areas. Next slide. The total number of capital projects over a period of 10 years, we had something like 40 projects which were carried out. The operational ones were 17. But one may ask a question and say, why didn't all of these, for example, somewhat succeed? Amongst the small-scale mining operations, there are some challenges, like I indicated. Some of them would fall because of the depletion of the resource. Some of them is because of the lack of skills, even though we do support them. And some of them is also market access. Next slide. In this slide, I think of interest to members is the number of jobs which were created. In the 2016-2017, it's indicated on the slide there we have 170 jobs which were created for our people. Next slide. Another strategic objective, promote investment in the mining, mineral and upstream petroleum. We had the total number of dialogues at 25 in the 3-year audited period. And this is very important that members take note that it is mainly engagement with your mid-debt, the framework agreement for sustainable mining industry, which is led by the presidency. And in many instances, this embraces three stakeholders: government, business, and labor. Now, the next slide, I'm here going to be highlighting just a few of them which might be of interest to members. The implementation of shale gas action plan instrument. I think it will be better also that members take note that there is a hydraulic fracturing committee which is led by the DG, and the committee is represented by several government departments as well as entities. For example, Department of Water and Sanitation, Science and Technology, Department of Energy, Department of Environmental Affairs, Council for Geoscience are part of this as well as FASA. The other one which I would want to highlight is the number of reports detailing progress in implementation of beneficiation provision framework. This is done, I think it's very important that it's noted that this is done to strengthen specifically the MPRDA, which is going through the parliamentary process as we speak right now. The other one which I think is very important in this instance is that we're working with the GTI as well as IDC, amongst others on this beneficiation, as well as the fuel cell steering committee. Next slide. Now, here, like I indicated, there are several international engagements which were done. There are several of them which were conducted in the 3-year period. and they include engagement with Japan, Russia, China, Nigeria, Lesotho, Niger, and Central African Republic. Next slide. I think in this slide, Honorable Chair, I would want to also, in the interest of time, indicate under the number of reports developed in mine closure and generally colonialist mines. There are several reports which were conducted. I think of importance is the assessment of potential opportunities for future mining, state contingency liability, mine readiness towards closure. Next slide. Under this slide is the strategic objective is promote sustainable resource use and management. Now, in this instance, there are specifically two SOEs which one would want to single them out, who are assisting us in terms of the specifically the DNOs and the issue of acid mine drainage. Specifically, you are Council for Geoscience as well as MINTEC. However, we are also involved in the commission called the Benguela Current Commission, wherein with several countries involved in this instance, South Africa, Angola, as well as Namibia. Next slide. This slide singles out the number of derelict and ownerless mine sites which have been rehabilitated in the CA period. My apologies. Okay, I'm on slide 82. Indicated on the slide, there are 145.
I'm on slide 82 on the document. The measure there is the number of derelict and ownerless mine sites rehabilitation. As indicated on the slide, in the 3 year period, we have audited 145 mine sites, and the rehabilitated sites in Gauteng, there are 39 of them in the gold mine sites, the 445. Which are gold.
The Limpopo 45 gold mine site, as well as 6 asbestos mine sites. Mpumalanga 21 clay mine site, and 22 gold mine sites. KwaZulu Natal 2 asbestos mine sites. Northwest is 8 manganese mine sites, and Northern Cape 2 asbestos sites. The next slide that's 83 talks to the increased investment in the mineral and the mining petroleum sectors. Here we have two strategic objectives. Under the number of engagements in the 5 year period, the target which we have achieved so far is the number 84. And for the number of legislative instruments developed, reviewed, and amended, it's 3. And in the
5 in the current financial year. 84, slide number 84. The major thing is the number of legislative instruments developed over the 3-year period. We have now 10 of them. I think of interest, members, it's the MPRDA bill, which is going through the parliamentary process, you know, the mining charter, which the DG has alluded to. If we could go into 85, which will be the last slide, is the efficient, effective, and development-oriented department. Under this, we have two measures, the number of internal processes. For that, we have the target, current target of one. For the 5-year period, we have 10. And under adherence to time frame, the target is 95. For the 5-year audited is 99. And the target for the current financial year is 95. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's a question of commitment, honorable members and chairperson. As you all know, that the president has made some commitments on State of the Nation address, and that was to ensure that the impact that exists on mining charter, it is being resolved. I must actually report to honorable members that we are making a good progress in this regard. The other issue is to ensure that through mining there is economic growth, and we have task teams that we have established to look specifically on this particular aspect in making sure that we give a practical expression to the commitments that the President has made through the State of the Nation Address, and also to promote mining investment and to make sure that there is a sustainable mining to continue in transforming the mining industry. And lastly, as we know that you know, the safety of the workers and employees in that space is very critical, and so we are also looking at this critical issue. And now I must also indicate that these issues, they also form part of our annual performance plan that has been tabled, Chair. So this will be our concluding remarks. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, honorable members. Honorable
members, appreciate and welcome the presentation. I'm just going to focus on what I think are the most important slides according to my term. If you go to page or your slide 75, I want to combine that with what you call your promotion of FMMM. What FMMM is? For that slide, the bottom, the last bullet, we are saying startup enterprises generally face challenges in climbing a sustainable path. And yes, I can see that you are picking up there on the closure of some projects, depletion of resources, lack of skills, market access. But then you are not telling us about what is your strategy to address and surmount this, because it will appear to me as a challenge that we need to surmount. Because we are talking about economic growth, talking about developmental oriented department. Now, if such enterprises are facing such challenge, we're supposed to be saying as a department, our strategy, this is our strategy. The second issue that I want to raise relates to your operation package. I was trying to dissect and look for what you were articulating on operation package, the specifics that you spoke about. but there's nothing that I see here. Can you unpack what you were saying to us on operation parties? Because I only see slide 75 where you talk of exploration, development, production, and mine closure. Please go deeper on operation in particular, in the context of your ocean economy. Now, if you go to page 56, where you spoke or you speak about verification, inspection, you can't tell us that under those verification, inspection, everything is 100%. Please, to talk to us about such. And then on page 44, projects completed. What is the impact of those projects completed? Page 44. The impact of those projects that you are saying are completed. And you talk of page 49, job created, 18,377. Are you satisfied with that number as a department? The last question, Chair, to give other members an opportunity. There's a general perception that the department disregards our people when we provide licenses. That acrimonious condition and situation between the department and the mining company and our people. Do you ponder the views and the concerns of our people if you give a particular company license? The issue of industrialists that you are talking about is only 10. Is that a good number? The transfer of skills? Accessibility to the market? You are not talking about that. Please, unpack all those things. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Nyambi.
Thanks, Chair. Let me join and welcome the presenters. If I may, Chair, if I had my own way, because my little understanding of this process is to get more information from the department, and the whole purpose of this exercise is that on that day when I delivered the budget vote of the department, as the National Assembly is doing, we understand what was debating, so that ultimately when we deal with the budget, we know what we're dealing with. So that is why, if I had my own way, I was going to say after the questions, because most of the questions that were raised by honorable parties, they need a detailed explanation, and it has covered almost all the problems of the department. But if we are going to allow all of us, the temptation is that it will be like the department. Well, I might be wrong, but some departments have mastered that they know that we might not be having ample time for the discussion, and if you take us through the presentation and then all of us, like, ask 72 questions. If I ask my 72 questions, it means we'll have one person responding and we'll be getting out without giving the others a chance. So I'm asking you to guide me before I can ask my questions. But if you allow me, I was going to make a concrete proposal that either at a go we have two members asking questions, or we start with one and then we deal with them. Because if we're going to ask all of us, it's possible that we might get out without getting the responses, and it will save no purpose to go to the house and debate something without doing justice to this exercise. Not unless we're saying this is for compliance. Well, if it's for compliance, then that is something else.
Okay. I'm ready to ask my questions if you allow me, but I'm making a proposal. Next to me, she's saying she has got feet. Okay, let me ask my question. I'll leave all my questions and just focus on the last line to try maybe to assist you instead of taking all what I've noted. The last slide is trying to respond to Sona, and those issues of Sona are covered by almost all the programs of the department. So my first question would be, are you satisfied about the programs of your department that you have currently that they are able to assist you to deliver as per your plan? That's my first question. My second question, you have picked it up when we're doing the introduction, talking about provinces. I'm from Mpumalanga, and being from Mpumalanga, I now decided that I'm going to avoid people of Umjindi municipality, because you still have those poor people trapped underground. And there were commitments that were made. I don't know whether, because ordinary people, they don't care whether I'm an MP or I'm an official of the department. But once you go there, they are raising a lot of things that has to do with the department. Of course, we know what happened, but how can you do justice and bring closure to those people? Because it's an issue that from time to time, if you go to Mjindi, people are raising it. And it's going beyond that municipality now, in Mbombela. It's an issue of the entire Tanzania region. You know those poor people that are still underground today, and you went there, the department, the minister was there, commitments were made, undertakings were made, but it seems as if the undertakings that were made, let alone getting those people out, but the commitments was that were made to those poor people. And now, when it's a DMR dealing with the budget, and they see me talking and not talking about this issue, I raised it last year when I was debating it. And I thought by this time we'll have a closure. So that is why I'm raising it, that if we can have a detailed response about that issue. The second issue, well, what was the end of our term? We're mainly interested in more of the legacy report that will be taken by those that will be coming for the sixth term. But with that as it may, out of the little experience of being members here, no organization or institution can be, or department can be able to function at optimal level with the Hollywood style that you see with DMR. The explanation is not convincing. It's a clear Hollywood style. Almost the entire management is acting. And the explanation, elaborate a bit so that you make sense to understand what are the challenges. If you are saying you're addressing it, let's have clear, concrete time frame so that we can be able out of that to say, you said this, so why this is not happening? And if you've got some challenges, talk to us so that we can be able to assist you. I committed to chair that I won't be raising a lot of questions. I will be mainly focusing on those few that I think if they can try to do justice to them, I can get to that day speaking with confidence about the issues of the department. But the last issue that I want to raise in a form of a comment, DG, you are not new. You have been with this department even when we had the last one. This process, it meant, it's not a fault-finding exercise that you want to capitalize on anything that is wrong and show you how we understand these issues, but it's to play our part as members of parliament and assist you what you cannot do. But I will be failing if I don't remark. You'll correct me if I'm wrong. Sometimes we get a sense, without getting to a comparison, we get a sense that we are part of parliament, and being part of parliament, it means we have what we call joint programming. The National Assembly is aware of what we're doing now, and the NCOP members are aware of what National Assembly is doing. And if we have a situation where, whether you want to call it a clash, not that we don't understand, we do understand. That is why we don't expect the minister and the deputy minister to be here, because we understand what they are doing that side. But when we started, it nearly created a problem because you're not in and it was raised. So I'm raising it with you so that you can even comment about it, because when you were not here, we got a sense that when the view was to ask, what is the role of the DG when you have two programs that are running parallel at the go, when the minister is presenting a budget vote? Of course, we have got to be there as the administration, but when we have another house having a very important exercise that will lead to the department delivering a budget, and you decide to be on the other side and be a spectator, yet here you are expected to respond to questions. But I don't know how Chair you will deal with all of us if you are going to allow Honorable Abutrahan to have the 50 and the Lieutenant to make the debate. But that is it, May. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Can we, Honorable Member, to respect, say, at least for this first round, can we just restrict ourselves to two questions, please? I know already that those that have the first bite. Honorable Minister will be followed by Honorable Lavaska.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me start on the issue that was raised previously by Honorable Parties, which is not a repetition that I'm about to do, but is to emphasize the point that the department must not make us to do work that is not going to help us in what we want to achieve when we are at the house, by giving us documents very late and expect us to do justice. That must not happen, Chair, again. If that happens in any of the department chairs, we have to tell them to leave and allow us space to look at the documents, which would be their fault. I felt I must say that first, Chair. Going to the question, Chairperson. First, Chair, I want to check, because I've browsed through their annual report, the 2016-2016. There is a comment in their audit report that talks about filling the key critical points. I would like the time frame for the department to do so, because it is very urgent issue. And you said only two group now, to be clear. All right, let's go to the other critical one, Chair. The issue of fatalities with mining sector, injuries, and the whole issue of the health and safety of workers in that sector.
Chairperson, apart from them having status in terms of curbing or else addressing the issue, but what I would like to know more is the strategy for the department to have a with the industry a way of detecting in advance that the issue be there by now. Yes, they are supposed to be taken into task. Yes, you should be monitoring the situation, but again, you must also focus the future. How do we make sure that in advance we pick up on time when such things are going to happen? Because it is becoming, you know, something that is very common that we cannot accept. Especially in the Eastern Cape, because most of the people that are working in those mines, you get from my phone.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am deeply concerned about the fact that I can only ask two questions because I really have a lot of questions. But I'm going to start off because there's a lot of fine detailed questions that I think we need to discuss with the department. Because first of all, I want to say thank you. Some of this report that is presented to us, some of the things have been broken down into provinces, which we requested at the previous time, and the department did now. So therefore, it's necessary for us to discuss things, because in the NCOP we focus on most of the time on other things than the NA. But I want to start off with the last page, page 87, about the sonar and the commitments that we need to do. And most of my questions that I have can be clustered underneath the mining investment and promote sustainable mining. And if I look at sustainable mining, I think we all agree that sustainability means economic sustainability, environmental sustainability, and social sustainability. Can it be only one kind of sustainability? Now, if I look at that, then we have to look at communities. And then we have to look at, and then there is a lot of questions that I need to ask the department on social labor plans. Because on our oversight in the high-level panel report on various levels, social labor plans and the implementation or the non-implementation thereof, or the link with the IDPs and all those kind of things, the fact that it's not being adhered to, first of all, the fact that social labor plans in this report is a very limited number of social labor plans planned for 2018. And I understand it's something that's been reviewed over 5 years, but then it's my question, if you can't do it correctly, why is it part of the whole APPs? Because what we do is we create a certain expectation in communities, and those expectations are not fulfilled. In the NPRDA bill, that is the legal framework, public participation process gave feedback on the inclusion of communities and consultation and all those things. That's largely not being adhered to. At the moment, the charter, the discussions on the mining charters are going around, and if you read, because the only thing that this committee has to go on is either you have to be present there, which we can't be all of us all the time, or you have to read the press on that. And again, communities, affected communities, are having an issue that they are not being heard and not being
integrated into or listened to. So if we talk about sustainability, my question is, the main question about this is, when we, economic sustainability, it also means that job creation should be happening for those communities. Now, in this whole presentation, they have been focused on black industrialists. I don't have a problem with that, although I don't think 10 industrialists will really, really do a lot for job creation. And on small and medium enterprises, with all the challenges into that, there's one report indicated on beneficiation. Now, I'm linking all these things together now because it's very difficult not to link it. I would like to know what is the framework of that report, the time frame, and when it's been, when it's going to be available, be sent or given to the committee. But my question also is, all these things, what is being happening on job creation for the communities affected by mining? Because small-scale mining, I can't see out of this, and maybe I've missed it, but I don't see any reference to that those small-scale miners and the business that's being developed out of that. Chairperson, I'm trying to speak, and my colleagues are having their own meeting here on my left. I can't focus.
No, sorry, you are protected, honorable. Continue.
Chairperson, I can't concentrate when I hear people on my left.
Don't make your problem our problem. We are not
even
talking to you, we
have
never even
mentioned
to you.
Honorable Connie, please. Can you
answer? I want to know what is the department's plan on that beneficial, on the whole thing of sustainability within the community. Then the other areas is the whole thing on compliance. The number of reports, the, you know, the APP is given here in this book. There's numbers, and then all of a sudden it's sort of 100% of compliance. But we don't know what is the baseline. It's very difficult. You can, the department can say, okay, we're going to do so many inspections this year. Some of these. The detail is 1,700 and something inspections. The thing is, we're sitting in this committee and there's no idea how many mines in each province is there and what would be the baseline, the ideal for all these various kinds of inspections. There should be a baseline in the department. In the past 5 years, up till now, I've never got that baseline. You have it. A toolkit that says, according to all these legal frameworks, these are the kind of inspections that need to be done. Safety, occupational health, environmental inspections, license renewals, applications, one environmental system, all that kind of things. You have that. I'm sure you have that. And there must be, on all these inspections, there is a norm that says, so many inspections per year must be done in each mine. You can say in this report 100% and 70% and 80% doesn't mean anything because we don't have that baseline. Because not even the department can say this is what we've done. Because if you don't use the baseline and say this is what we've done, and we with the manpower and the resources, we will only be able to do. So many mines over a period of 3 years or 5 years or what, and set the baseline and work from that. And then on the occupational health and safety, I'm very concerned because, yes, that's very great that there is a reduction in the accidents and the fatalities, but I also see there is the budget that has been cut.
on that, or it's not been cut, no, it's not been cut, but it's in comparison with the other programs, much less. And also, the inspections on safety is being cut from the previous year from 900 and something to 500 and something. And Chairperson, then...
thank you very much. I think you have...
No, I want to ask the last question. Derelict owner does mine. The derelict owner does mine. Chairperson,
can you cooperate?
I am going to find... I'm going to finish now. The derelict and owner does mine. The number you gave us the number of how many have been closed and rehabilitated and so on. How many is still there, and what is the possibility, and what is the risk of more mines being defined as if they're missing ownership? Thank you. To be disruptive to Honourable Level Staffman, but I want to raise my concern, Chair, that you said two as a rule, but you allow her to finish all her questions. That's not fair. Chair, with all due respect, I haven't done all my questions. They are still very many other questions. Yes, Member, if you break one rule, I can break another one. Yes. Disrespected me
and
talking to the
department. No, thank you very much,
Ona.
Can we allow...
I'm covered on the 18. I also commend the department for the breakdown according to provinces. Do they have an audit of the Zama? Do they know exactly where the Zamas are operating, how many are they, etc. Because I think if we don't have that audit, we've got an accident, major one, waiting to happen. Next chapter, I've seen on the document here something about Brasa. I thought Brasa is a matter of the transport, etc. But that one we can put by the website. Maybe they can take it when they clarify.
Yeah, two critical questions. If you are done, then it's okay.
On the Zamazamas. My second question is on the Smoky Hill mine in Mandasuk.
Okay, thanks. Honorable Koni, then.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think some of us realized that in our lifetime now, those days ago, the department, I was found a bit irrelevant, but at the end of the day, I would have made my point, and I think many of you, or some of you here, secretly agree with me. It's just that you won't declare publicly. My point is on the nationalization of mines. I know this alone doesn't sit on you. As the department alone, it needs to be discussed or engaged at another level, but I just want to check what the department take as far as nationalizing mines. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Let me go over to the department to respond. I've got also two questions, but in the public domain, there is a narrative that the mining industry is chasing the maximization of profit at the expense of the workers. Perhaps can demystify that. The seismic, that's a question that was also raised by a colleague there. working in collaboration with other departments. Can we enforce that the mining industry should spend more on the safety of the workers? Young men and women come from their peripheries to the mining industry. When they are expected to come with something that will be better in the lives of their parents, they go back as cops. Indeed, that is really sad. Perhaps we have to look at that seriously. Also on the slide number 10, where you are talking of inspectors, do you really have enough, and what is enough inspectors to make sure that the legislative frameworks and policies that are enforced in the mining industry? Thank you very much.
Just before they respond, I want to propose something which is important. We are not, and we cannot be deceived by percentages and numbers. I'm not really comfortable, Honourable Chair, about the 79, 89, and 100% that we are talking about. Can we get that information that breaks down all those 100% that are talking about? Because we are going to debate your budget vote on the 7th of June. When we speak on the platform, we should be knowing exactly the 100% that we are talking about, what do they represent. And secondly, Chair, I want the committee to be vanished with the outcomes of the inspections that we are talking about. I have a special attachment, CFO, about inspection and your labor plans. I have a special attachment. Every time you come here, I'm going to ask you that question as long as I'm a member of this committee. Thank you.
I know that DG, you are under pressure. I've seen your letter. But it's unfortunate that this committee cannot allow you to leave this room to rush to the budget vote in any day. Be party to this meeting and respond accordingly. Really, it will sound very, very, very unfortunate. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'm going to assign to the DTG for the colleagues that are here to respond to the questions. I see that Honorable Nyami wanted to come in. let me deal with his questions. I'll just deal with what has been raised by Honorable Nyan, so that I can also be comfortable as I'll be participating in this meeting. I'm not only raising this with Honorable Nyan. I just received a message now that members are complaining. They have commented about my non-attendance to the Minister's Budget Vote speech. And so I'm just raising it to you, honorable members, to see that Honorable Nyami spoke about me being a spectator on the other side. Now it is coming up strongly that I must also be on the other side. But we understand, I mean, that these are some of the things that are going to happen. But then I'm here with the committee now. We have to deal with the business of the committee. the colleagues will be able to respond to some of the questions that have been raised by honorable members. Then I'll just actually give a summary at the end. I'll start with the mineral regulation, then MPP, then the inspectorate, and the CFO will be the last one. Then I'll give the summary at the end. Thank you very much.
For the opportunity. Yes.
On the issue of the 100% compliance, maybe I should just give a brief background. What we do, because we have issued this right, we know that we have to inspect them. We annually come up with inspection plans, and then we look at the four areas, which is MyNet program, and social and labor plan, and labor laws and administration. And we have targets based on the capacity that we have to say this is how much we are going to do. So the 100% that is in the report only talks to say if we have targeted to do 7 inspections for SLP, we have done 7. It's just the 100% to say we were able to do those inspections. Now, in terms of what we find there, we have put in there to say that we found others to be non-compliant. We don't find everybody to be non-compliant, to be compliant, I'm sorry. So in terms of what is in, we have got a percentage there to say of the 813 mines that we have inspected, we found 20-something percent to be non-compliant. And in terms of what we find when we go and do those inspections, we can share that according to provinces to say what are the areas that we have found to be non-compliant. And yet most of them are around your environment and mostly around your social and labor plan. But we also issue directives to say you must remedy. And we can also share that with the committee beyond this. On the number of jobs that have been created, the question was asked, is 18,377 enough? It is not enough based on the poverty levels that we find in these communities. But unfortunately, there has been challenges where a lot of jobs have been shared rather than jobs being created. And these jobs that we are talking about are your jobs that have been created only through the social and labor plan. We are not including the jobs that have been created in terms of the mining project. But in terms of what we have here, is just what was created through social and labor plans. And some of them include your learnership, your internship, and other SME projects that may come out of an SLP project. And some of them are very short term, like your learnership services, they can last 2 years, but others are just as, for instance, when they are in infrastructure development, those are those that you have. And we have noted the issue of the industrialist, and we will also try to improve on that. Because as we look at that, the issue of transfer skills and accessibility to the market on all that, what we do as a department, we will always have this workshop where we will say to mining companies, they might begin to bring to use locals, but unfortunately the word local also has its own challenges. Even when we're going around the charter, they were saying, if I'm in Sekukune, it must only be Sekukune. People who are benefiting because they are close to those operations, but that's something that has to be looked at. In terms of the impact of the project, what we will do normally, we have said it's a principle that we are not going to approve at the time when somebody comes and applies a project that will create dependency that will need to be funded time and time and again. But we are also saying let's focus on the basic infrastructural projects. We will be able to share with that because there are cases where we have built roads, we have built schools, mining companies have built clinics. And yes, we can provide that the list to say this is the impact that they have made, because where there are no clinics, they are now their health issues are sort of addressed with relation to that. And then in terms of as we issue licenses, I hope I got the we disregard our people. I think it's two issues. On maybe let me talk about the issue around the IDP. As a department, we saw that in terms of the integrated development plan, they have been consulted with all the stakeholders, and that is why we are aligning that to the IDP. But the other issue is it might be that people have not been consulted at all in terms of a mining operation. That's what we have seen going there. but the Act provides for that consultation to take place. But what we've been doing, we are trying to work with the municipalities to say, are the people consulted, and where there are issues where people can object to say, but we have not been consulted, even when this operation was started, we also try to intervene as a department, and that is where we also have to try and improve in terms of consultation. And then, on the issue of sustainable development, we have built that in. Of course, we can still improve, because the non-implementation of the SLP are dealt with it in terms of the consultation. But then in terms of the number of SLPs that are planned for a particular year, what we put in the Act is only what we can be able to verify, given the capacity challenges. And I will speak to the SLP, every regional office has got only one or two social plan officials. It becomes difficult for them to start by adjudicating the SLP and also going out to do inspections. If we do more of these inspections, we will be able to pick up some of the challenges that are there. So what is in the APP is based on the capacity that is there. And on the issue of inclusion of communities in public participation process, depending on which one we're talking about, when it is about the environment, we know that there is a process that has to be followed. If it's about the social and labor plan, over and above the IDPs that have been consulted, mining companies also, when they go and speak to the municipalities, there are areas where there are mining forums where they have to go in and say, we are a company and we are going to do that. Yes, as a department, maybe we need to bring in a proper guideline for all mining companies to do that. And on the issue of location, unfortunately, currently, given the challenges that we have seen in the department, we are just having those challenges around how jobs can be created. But we can also share the number of jobs created in terms of the mining project itself. But on these ones that we have included, like I said, it's just the thing. And then on the Smoky Hill mine in Mandapuk, I need to be clarified on this one. Maybe not in this meeting.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to respond. The first question which was raised was on the slide 75, which deals with the startup enterprise generally face challenges in planting the sustainability path. I think one of the things which we need to maybe as members be aware of is that when a prospective mine holder applies for a license, amongst other things, a person may have to either apply for what we call basic assessment or environmental impact assessment. Now, in some instances, one would find that one would have to carry out specialized studies, and this costs money. Basic assessment would be in a range of between 100 to 150 per thousand rand, and your full EIA could easily go beyond your 2,000. With specialized studies, it can could even go to 10,000. So it could be a lot of money involved in this. I mean, 400,000 sometimes in this case. So your SMEs are unable to afford that. The second area which they're finding is a challenge is also on the finance, especially where the operation becomes capital intensive. We do assist them with the help of, for example, IDC. But in many instances, your SMEs find it very difficult to sustain the maintenance of this equipment. That's one of the things. I must also indicate, in the case of environmental aspect of it, having noticed it to be a challenge, what we have done as part of the One Environmental System, we have agreed with Department of Environmental Affairs, and they do assist through the CSIR to fund your basic assessment and some form of assistance which may be required in terms of your EIA. But that's again the pool of money available is very limited. That is why there's a statement which says startup enterprises find it very difficult to sustain. That's the first question. The second one on Operation Pakisa. I think it's very important to note that the ocean is an area which is also attracts several areas for investment. You have the transportation, but also within your ocean you have fish. You have mining also which is taking place there. Now, what we have done as part of Operation Ocean Pakisa is to, amongst others, come up what we call marine protected area, where we have identified certain areas which are hotspots. For example, the areas where fish during a particular time would breed and then move, for example, breed in the ocean and then move to other places, like for example in Namibia, and then from there come back only for breeding and all that. So we need to know these areas, and we then declare them as protected areas. In some instances, there are potentials for either mining, for say diamonds, or even for oil. Now, in this case again, you may find that, for example, for oil, as part of the exploration process, they send out seismic surveys, but the seismic surveys have the potential to negatively impact on the breeding of the fish or the movement of the fish. So it's very important that we know where are these areas and then declare them as protected areas. There's one part which is being done with the ocean Pakisa. But also very important, which I want to single out, is as we also indicated that the ocean provides a transportation platform for South Africa. But the negative side of it is that there is frequent spillages which might happen. And therefore, there is a need to come up with an incident management system to counteract any spillages which may arise, and to say how do we go about doing that. So we have managed, as part of Operation Ocean Pakisa, to address that. The issue of investment promotion, I'm going to answer it to the communities as well as your SMEs. I think members would be aware that, for example, last year, when we went to Russia, amongst others, we took the SMEs to be part of the delegation to take part in the investment promotion, as well as when we had, for example, the Canada visit, as well as the mining in Java recently. So there has been involvement of the SMEs in terms of the investment. But then there's also a question related to the community. In some of the projects which have been indicated in the slide, which we carry out, for example, the derelict and ownerless mine site, communities are involved in terms of participation in the rehabilitation process and even the impact of the skills. As I speak right now in Limpopo, there's a project going on in terms of the rehabilitation of an area called Sesa. And communities are involved, the chief is involved in that, and the purpose is that at the end of the project, people should be able to, with the skills necessary, to be able to impart your skills in terms of rehabilitation and so on. So they are involved. But above all, the SMEs whom we're talking about also hire your community wherever the projects are carried out. And then there's the question, not the question, but the request to have the framework on beneficiation made available to the committee. I think in the course of time, we will make that arrangement. I'm sure the DG, that can be done. And then there was the question on the how many GNOs are still remaining. Now, members would know that the department has requested Council for Geoscience to study all of the derelict and unmanaged mine sites in the Republic. I've made mention, I'm sure that the members would be aware of this, that we have in excess of 5,000 mine sites. However, the Council for Geoscience has prioritized all of these sites and in terms of a high priority, moderate, and low priority. And the ones which are actually need serious attention are actually 753. Others, there is no need for rehabilitation, precisely because we have identified some of, in some instances, the owners. Secondly, some of them, through the help of the Council for Geoscience, they have managed to find that there is a potential for ore, so the department then grants these mine sites to prospective mine holders to re-mine. So as a result, to respond to the question, we have 753, but I think I have also the delineation in terms of the provinces, if members want to know exactly where, how many of this 753 in terms of the provinces, I can also indicate that. But maybe in the interest of time, I'll just leave that out. Yeah, I think that's the chair. But I'll be guided if you...
No, thanks.
This
should be submitted in writing. Because the reason is, we will be debating this project group. So that it should also be passed, okay? But we should be well informed. However, let's continue. Inspector.
Thank you. I will be addressing the mine health and safety issues. The perception which is making around the Honorable Chair, it is partly correct that there are some companies who are prioritizing maximum production at the expense of workers' lives. And as a department, when we detect such recklessness, we do intervene. We face the tutoring instructions. But I should, however, mention that there are also mines which are prioritizing health and safety of workers. For instance, in Mpumalanga, there are mines which have operated from the start until they closed without even a single fatality. And there are many mines around the country which are operating for a full calendar year without any mine worker losing their life. And as for the comment regarding more investment in seismicity, that is spot on. Currently, as a country, and it is not only South Africa, even other mining, international mining jurisdictions, we do not have a proactive seismic monitoring system yet, but we have not given up. There's research which is currently being conducted at the Mine Health and Safety Council, where the department has collaborated with the Council for Geoscience to try and address the issue of seismicity. And on the question of whether the department has got enough inspectors, mine health inspectors, Unfortunately, we don't, and that is for a number of reasons, but mainly it is as a result of lack of skills. And the department in that regard has collaborated with MQA to try and develop new skills. In the last 2-3 years, 50 inspectors were trained with the assistance of the Mining Qualification Authority. But the challenge, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, is that even after developing the necessary skills, the department is not in a position to retain those skills, because the mining sector is recruiting our fully qualified inspectors, and they're offering them offers they cannot resist. And there was a comment also about fatalities, to say we need to detect them in advance. As the department, we do conduct proactive inspections and audits, even before any accident occurs at any mine, to try and prevent them from happening in the first place. But in instances where we become aware after the incident, we do conduct very comprehensive investigations and inquiries. And where negligence is detected, prosecution is recommended to the DPP for the responsible persons. And for the mining sector to effectively deal with the issue of poor mine health and safety, we believe that we need to continue collaborating with other stakeholders, including chamber, organized labor, and ourselves, to try and work together. At the memorial service on the 10th of May, the minister made a commitment that before the end of this year, we will be convening a mine health and safety symposium and summit, where all stakeholders will come together and we openly discuss the issue of poor mine health and safety in the country. Thank you.
Corporate Services.
From my side, it's only one question around the time frame for the filling of critical positions. We are in the process of filling all the critical positions in the department, and specifically I'll talk to the DDGs with respect to DDG Mineral Regulation and DDG Mineral Quality and Promotion. We are in the process of filling those positions, and I can commit that before the end of the second quarter of this financial year, those posts will be filled. This is before the end of September, they will definitely be filled. All other positions will be filled far before that.
Simple.
I don't think for me there was a specific question. Safe to say, to present the comments by Honorable Labasahu, that although my health and safety looks to be like small in budget in comparison to other programs, it is not necessarily so, because in the mineral policy and promotion, we have included the entities, the Council for Geoscience and the MINTEC, which takes almost 50% of the budget. And on the issue of BRASA, it's not BRASA, it's BASA, it's the Petroleum Agency of South Africa. And in terms of capacity for inspectorate, yes, I think the inspectorate has alluded to it better, that it is not only the funding, it's also to do with the skill set that is required. So far, 50% of our 665 million budget on compensation, 26% is on miners and 51% is on mineral regulation. Mm-hmm. And we continue to invest treasury on the challenges around capacity. And I think the minister today in his budget speech, he has also spoken about it.
My question.
has not been answered. Do we have the audit of the legal Zampazanga? Do we know where it is happening? Or do we just get alarmed?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I see that Honorable Member has just worked out who has raised that question, because I wanted to respond to that question. Maybe I will deal with it.
Once the question is raised, it's for the committee.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Member, there was a question from Honorable Nyami about the department, whether we are satisfied that with the capacity, I'm sure that we are having as a department, will be able to deliver according to our expectations. This is actually informed by our plan, Honorable Members. We planned at the beginning of the year that these are the programs, these are the activities that we're going to be having in this financial year. Now, at the end of the year, we get audited whether we have achieved that or not. And so our response would be to say that, yes, indeed, Honorable Members, we will be able to deliver according to our expectations as per the annual performance plan. I would also want to link this question of Honorable Nyami with what we have discussed in the department, which has also been raised by Honorable Members here. The impact of the project can also even be the SLPs. We have looked at this matter quite very closely and very critical together with the Minister recently, where we came to the point that it is easy for us to plan 10 and achieve 10 out of 10 at the end of the financial year. But what is important is the impact at the end of the day. And so it is an area that we are looking at. And so this will be done and achieved through monitoring and evaluation, so that if we have this 10, then we must also know that it has made a good impact. On the issue of, I would assume that Honorable Nyami was talking about the Lili mine here. Mjindini Municipality, Honorable Nyami. We are currently in discussion because there is actually a process that is unfolding in that area to start with the operations of that mine. There is a new buyer. And so we'll be having a meeting with the CEO. I'm sure before the end of next week, we will be having a meeting with the CEO of the mine, because we have also raised this issue with him. We have a preliminary engagement around some of the challenges that our people are faced with in that area. I'm sure you are aware that they have also stopped some of the operations of some other mines that are operating in that area, because there are concerns that we have to deal with. And so we will give a report, actually, in this regard, because there is also a report that has been compiled as a result of this incident. And so we'll make sure that we also assist Honorable Members with the same report. I think those were the questions from Honorable Nyami. I've dealt with the other one that he has raised. But then just a point of emphasis is that there's also a perception, not a perception actually, I think Honorable Members have observed this, that from our side as the department, we are not paying the necessary attention to the programs of NTOP and its committees. And so as the Department of Mineral Resources, we are wholeheartedly committed in making sure that we don't fail in treating the two houses equally. But we understand that we have Parliament, and Parliament it is constituted by MA and NCOP. Coming to the questions that have been raised, I think the one of the vacant posts, we have adopted the plan, the department, that is, we have adopted a plan. We would actually communicate with the select committee in terms of filling of vacant posts, because we understand that we have to comply with the legislation as well. And so we'll make this report available. So, honourable members, this is not my natural voice. I've got a terrible flu. Coming to the issue of SLPs, I think the point that I just want to emphasize here, which has been raised with the department through our engagement, is the non-accessibility of SLPs. And so we have looked at this issue as a department, and we are going to engage mining companies to make sure that this document, it becomes a public document, because it will help in terms of monitoring as well to see whether whatever that has been committed, it is being implemented. The other issue that we have also agreed on is the proper alignment of SLPs with IDPs. It is very critical, and so we are looking at this matter as a department. We have also raised a proposal, and in fact, our communities, as we are engaging with them, they have also raised a proposal that we have many SLPs all over. Now, there is a new concept that has been developed that we have to deal with, to say that let all the mining companies that are operating within a specific area put their SLPs together or their resources together and have projects, so one big project depending on the needs of the community in those areas, so in that particular area. Now, there is actually a buy-in even from the mining companies, and as a department, we see it as something that will benefit our people. As we have been engaging with municipalities as well, they are also saying the same thing. I think, honorable member, I'm just assuming here, because he spoke about what they are reading in newspapers and so forth, and so I just assumed, because this question was raised in a committee meeting that you attended, about the concerns that have been raised by members of community that they are not participating in the mining charter processes. They are participating. We are giving a feedback to this honorable house that we are inviting all relevant stakeholders. As you will remember, that we have those that also took the department to court, and so we are making it a point that everyone comes and participates. But as you know that we are drafting the mining charter, it would not necessarily be possible that everyone can be accommodated. But we do allow our people to participate or to attend those meetings. The issue of job creation.
Just want to correct one issue, because I'm going to leave by 12:21. It will be unfair to put a general statement about the department, just for the sake of now and today, to come into the defense of this department. When we say we have a concern as a committee, we refer to the DG, the minister, and the deputy minister. Even the previous minister was not respecting this committee. I've never seen him. If I saw him, it was only once. Now it's going to be unfair for us to live with the impression that this department does not respect this committee. Umamusingo Kouba Gona Papadi Okela, the delegation, but you find that the DG is not here. That's one correction that I wanted to make, Chairperson. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Honourable Vice President Chair. On the issue of job creation, we are currently busy trying to develop a strategy that would enable us to create more job opportunities within the sector, because we have realized that, on the side of exploration, there isn't really a good progress that we are making. There is no investment in exploration, and so if we can't think sharply, there's no way that we can create more job opportunities. We'll be relying on few job opportunities that will be created by the existing mines. The point that the honourable member raised, I think as officials, we must also respond to this question officially, the honourable member, of the mine in the greater Kukuni. Let me just actually indicate that we are operating in that space, not only in that space of Kukuni only, but all over the country. But we have realized that the magnitude of the challenges that our people are faced with in that area, the high level of you know, protest marches that have been taking place. And so this matter, we can have a discussion outside this meeting, but I just want to put it on record that we have noted the concerns that are coming from the greater Kukuni area. As you are also aware that there are quite a number of mines that have been put under care and maintenance. Now, our argument is that you can't have mines that are being placed under care and maintenance, which means that there is still actually, you know, all body or resources that are still available. Now, we need to understand why these mines have been put under care and maintenance, because that is the only thing that our people are dependent on in terms of job creation. And so we are consolidating our report in this regard. We would kindly appreciate, even if you can be invited by the honorable members or the committee, to come and make a presentation on this one, because the minister is also prioritizing it as well. The other issue I think I've dealt with, or the issue of Ramazamas. When audit, you know, because when you do audit, you apply certain principles, and so this is an illegal activity, but we understand why our people are doing this. We do have Zamazamas all over the country where there are mines that have operated and they have been closed. In the states, we are aware that they are even getting into the mines where there are operations that have been taking place. But then we took a decision, the Minister in fact took a decision that we need to regularize this program of illegal mining. But then we must also be very clear, because in life making example with the stock theft, that you know, you have a unit that deals with stock theft, and so even with illegal mining activities, you must also have a unit that deals specifically with illegal activities. But in the main, we are going to come up with an artisanal bill in which we will be then making sure that we formalize or we regularize this activity, because at the moment it's a challenge. I must also indicate that I would say maybe it is because of what was happening there. We have issued two mining permits to Zamazamas around that area of Kimberley. But we don't want to create an impression that as and when you have people coming in big numbers, and so they would then get into areas where we have mines that are operating, then we'll be forced to issue permits. And so there's going to be a serious challenge in terms of our legislation there. But we are very much mindful of this challenge, and we are trying to do everything in our power to assist our people that are involved in the illegal mining. I think on the question of the vacant post, we have dealt with it. I'm sure we have tried to address all the questions that have been raised by honourable members. Thank you very much, honourable chair, honourable members.
Well, thank you very much, honourable members and the department. Can we maybe look at this budget vote 29, and then for adoption. Let me just read it. The Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources, having considered Budget Vote 29 and the Annual Performance Plan 2018-2019 of the Department of Mineral Resources, report that the committee has concluded its deliberations, therefore. Honorable members, can you read this for this? Okay. Can I get any second would you like to see that?
Thank you very much. My view would be, if that topic did serve on a committee, if it did serve and was discussed, it has been done. I'm not sure what's present in that meeting, but I'm
moving. Honorable
Thank you. We can't hear story chair properly. You're speaking softly on that side of the way.
All right, let me read it harder. Thank you, honorable member. The Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources, having considered budget vote 29 and annual performance plan 2018-2019 of the Department of Mineral Resources report that the committee has concluded its deliberation thereof. And I was requesting any proposal for adoption. Any second, honorable Nita?
I propose the adoption, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any second? Honorable Sin?
Per second,
thank you very much. Maybe I'll hand over to them, the DG, when the department will excuse the committee for the committee to continue with its other business. That's the few.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. As indicated, that on behalf of the department, we know that there are issues that have been raised by honorable members that would need our immediate attention, like the issue that Senator Munyami has raised, the issue of Zamazamas, and also what is important, Chair, that we'd appreciate to expedite is the completion of the MPRD Amendment Bill, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, and also make sure that, because on the mining charter we have a control over it, we're trying to move with speed as well to make sure that we finalize it within the time frame that the minister has pronounced. But apart from that, as this team, I think Honorable Pakis, on behalf of honorable members, has indicated that it is only myself as the DG, deputy minister, and the minister that we are not actually honoring your programs. I'm making a commitment that I will always be available to this meeting of the committee. I do engage the Honorable Chair from time to time and other members that I have their contact details, and so it is also a sign of showing to you that we do care about the operations of this committee or NCOP, because we understand that there are two houses here, and so there's no big brother or whatever that one can call it. And so we would like to apologize for what happened in the past. From now moving forward, we'd always be available for the programs of the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Had you made the arrangement earlier, we're going to allow you to attend the budget vote. That was the relation.
members. Thank you very much. I think we've got one set of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That is 1:17 of April. Honorable members, thank you very much. Honorable Nita.
Not that I was checking with the Secretary of the Committee. If we don't have two sets of minutes, 24 and 17.
Yeah. That's true.
Okay.
Members, okay with the 1:17. Do you have opportunity to go through this minute? Honorable Gunther?
I did have a chance of meeting at the minutes of the 17th of April, and I moved the
acceptance. Is there any certain that
you have taken?
Thank you very much. Yes. Honorable Finn? We can now have a look, let's look at the one for the 24th of April. Honorable members, do you have any or should you have taken on page by page, or are you almost there?
Chair, move for the minutes of the 24th.
Okay, thank you. Is there any second?
Same.
Honorable Julia?
No, he was not here.
Second.
Thank you very much, Honorable Julia. Second. Before Honorable Members, before we leave, the invitation that has been circulated for our meeting on Friday to wrap up our negotiating mandate. Can we, Honorable Members, make sure that we indeed all of us come so that we can start earlier at 9 o'clock and push? It's just an appeal that I'm making to you, Honorable Members. So we are all in. Yes. Thank you. If you can apologize, because of the nature of it, should be your responsibility to make sure that from your province, you must make sure that your alternative should be happy to that.
Chair, not a dialogue. The province at the moment doing the budget votes, we contacted the provinces as well, and they've been budget votes now at central stage. So they are not allowed to release anybody from the province.
No. But what I'm suggesting, in the NCOP, you are alternate.
Oh,
and
thank you. Okay,
yeah, sorry. Honorable Nambi, I say.
No, I'm saying I'll do the same as I'll be doing the briefing on Friday. Yeah. I'm deployed to Mpumalanga to present the bill.
Thank you very much. So can you rest assured that...
The briefing matter here, I'm also expected to go to a briefing.
When?
I don't have the document here. I will communicate, but I prioritize the meeting. Chair, I will be here. Unfortunately, I have to be out of the committee from 12:30 till the longest will be half past 12 to half past 1 for 1 hour. Though the longest count can be shorter. Honorable Smith won't be here. He has an engagement.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Members, for the commitment that indeed will make sure that this Friday should be a successful meeting. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. If there is anything from, nothing from the Honorable Members, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.